Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, a ministry of ground up grace, where the daily message frees you for forgiven living.
Freedom for forgiven living is grounded at the cross, where Jesus takes all your sins upon himself and gives you, in exchange, his abounding grace. Let's listen together and see where his grace frees us today.
It's Saturday, January 21st. The watchword for the week has been, God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. The text for today, Job 1, verse 21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. And Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Jeff, and Mim is busy with her grandchildren. And welcome to the China Cast, which has become essentially a mission cast. Let's talk about the connections today. And you'll notice that on page 17 in your daily text, we have a very specific theme for your prayer journal that Job's text reveals that we are by nature vulnerable people. And we solve this by clothing ourselves with fig leaves or good behavior, or we let Christ clothe us with his robe of righteousness. And we can learn more about this human dilemma, not only on today's podcast, but also if you go to groundupgrace.com, and on their website, they have more. It involves listening to the voice of the shepherd versus the voice of the deceiver. Well, the most obvious juxtaposition is between that of being naked and being clothed. If we remember the Genesis story in chapter 3 about the fall, Adam and Eve are listening to the voice of the deceiver. They rebel against God and his ways. He told them, this entire garden is available to you. You can delight in it, wander, eat of any fruit of any tree except for these two trees. And the repercussion of their disobedience is that they now fear God. The next time God comes to walk with them in his garden and calls out to them, they run, they hide in fear. They are aware of their nakedness, whereas before they were naked, but they were without shame. They had no awareness that this condition that they were in was naked. So the idea of nakedness kind of connotates that there's something shameful or something corruptible, something very vulnerable. And so they tried to cover themselves to make themselves presentable to God and to each other. In chapter 3 of Genesis, we note that before God expels them from the garden, he clothes them. He makes garments of skins. And some theologians have noted here that this was the first blood sacrifice for the atonement of sins. And it's God who makes the sacrifice. It's not Adam and Eve. They're unable to make atonement for their sin, but God is. So he is the one. And this is, of course, the precursor to what happens on the cross with Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, if we keep on reading, we'll read that Paul's stating quite openly that in Christ Jesus, God forgives all of our sins. He takes our sins, and Jesus, who knew no sin, who became sin for us, is nailed to the cross, and that's where our sins remain. Jesus is the reconciling, the atoning sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world once and for all. And as we are buried with Jesus into his death, we are also raised to new life through his resurrection. And as we are made alive in Christ, our debt, our shame is forgiven, our sin nailed to the cross. And when Christ appears again, we will be clothed with Christ in his glory. Therefore, Paul talks about how we have been circumcised with a circumcision without hands. It's the circumcision of the heart that the prophet Jeremiah talked about, that God has created a new heart within us as the former things have passed away and the new has come. And now we are to look at each other with new eyes, and we are to clothe one another and clothe ourselves with the robe of Christ's righteousness. Now, we can't go to the store and buy this, but this is a gift that God freely gives to the entire world, and it's received through faith as we hear the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. It's receiving that absolution as we confess our own sin, that we are naked, and God says, I know, but I've made skins for you, a robe of righteousness. It's like the story of the prodigal son who comes to his senses in the far country after he has squandered all of his father's inheritance in wild living. And he's destitute. He's in the mud and the muck and the mire of life with the pigs, and no one will feed him anything. He's starving. He can't even eat the slop that's made for the pigs. And he comes to his senses and he says, I can go home. I can go to my father's house and he will receive me, and I'll beg him to receive me as a servant. But as he's coming home, the father who has been watching for him sees him afar off and runs out to greet him and wraps his arms around him in welcome and greeting. And then tells his servants, quickly, bring a ring and put it on his finger, and bring a robe and put it around his shoulders so it covers his tattered clothing. And then they make a feast. They kill the fatted calf, and because this one who was lost has now been found. This robe of righteousness is quite profound. And as we are changed through the power of the Holy Spirit, as Christ, we receive the Spirit as the mark, the seal, the guarantee of our salvation and what is to come. And as we are slowly being changed, conformed into the likeness of Christ, becoming like him in every way, we will be more compassionate in our hearts, kind, humble, meek, and patient. We will learn to bear with one another and to forgive each other's sins, and learn how to love, be willing to lay down our lives for the sake of another, and having the peace of Christ reign in our hearts, so that in all times, in all places, we can give thanks to God. For his word is dwelling richly in us, and we have a new song in our hearts and our lips. And everything that we do is for the sake of Jesus Christ in his glory. Now we live in a present age, a time of lawlessness that flaunts nakedness and shame. We are brazen, and only the most perfect can walk with that self-assurance, but it's only for a time and a season. Age catches up with us, and the Bible says, God is not mocked, you reap what you sow. And those things that are sown in unrighteousness reap the rewards of unrighteousness. It's like a house of cards that eventually falls. And even in the war that's happening in Ukraine, we're reading of all kinds of atrocities. And what's typical in war is that when you take someone captive and prisoner, the first thing that you do is reduce them and their dignity by stripping them of their clothes, exposing them not only to the elements but also to the haughty and mockful eyes of their captors. And they're subject to all forms of shameful acts of violence, rape, and torture, all designed to reduce their humanity and strip them from their will. This is the type of world that we're living in today. But as we come to our senses, and as we yearn to be clothed with Christ, we know that we can come home and receive a robe of righteousness that Christ has made for us, that he will willingly, gladly, joyfully place upon us. And one of the questions that we have as we think about missions and how we can serve and proclaim Jesus to the nations is a simple question of how can we help others who are naked. And it reminds me of that Hans Christian Andersen book that he wrote in 1837, The Emperor's New Clothes. And you know the gist of the story is that the emperor wanted some unique clothing, and he went to a tailor, and his tailor made a fabrication that, oh, these are wonderful clothes, and he had made nothing. But he drapes them mockingly on the emperor, and the emperor walks out stark naked, but everyone's afraid to tell him that he has no clothes. So there are all oohing and fawning over him, like saying, oh, these are the best clothes that we've ever seen, and you look just simply marvelous. So when we are living among people who, like the emperor, are walking around with no clothes and we're vulnerable, what choices do we have? Well, I suppose we could ignore out of fear, or we could criticize. But I think the best option is simply to come alongside and to be Jesus and to help in a loving and kind way. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for wrapping us in your cloak of loving forgiveness and kindness. We are often tempted to throw off your love and instead to clothe ourselves with bigotry, greed, and idolatry. Forgive us, Lord. Help us hold tight to your robes of justice, generosity, loving acceptance. May we be sealed in your garments, the garments of the Holy Spirit. May we learn indeed to love one another and to love ourselves. And most of all, Lord, we say simply to you, we love you. Thank you for all the good gifts that you have given us. Thank you for your death on the cross. Thank you for the new life offered to us through the resurrection. May we sing with you this song, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. It's on page 93 in your daily text. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Whatever your daily grind may be, know that you are forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, I am.